All right, good evening, 7 p.m. service. Woo! Can you just give a high five to the person seated next to you and tell them, I'm so glad you could make it. Okay. Now, before we get to our installment for a series called All and Nothing, for those of you who are here for the first time, let me just introduce myself. My name is Tom. I'm one of the campus missionaries here, and I'm going to be talking about the fourth installment of our series, All and Nothing. Now, on to the word, okay, for today. Let me just give a quick recap on what this series is all about. The goal of this series is for us to have a greater understanding of who Jesus is and what He has done for our lives. And just to give a quick recap of the topics we've discussed over the past few weeks. Okay, in week one, we had an introduction. We look into the book of Colossians, wherein the series is based on. Wherein we get to understand that Colossae, where the book of Colossians is written for, the church in Colossae were a church wherein wrong practices, wrong beliefs and teachings were being taught in the church. There were many false teachers coming into the church, trying to penetrate the church and tell them wrong things. And so Paul had to write them this letter, this book of Colossians, to remind them who Jesus was and what He did for them. On the second week naman, we talked about the supremacy of Jesus, wherein we got to understand that Jesus is preeminent. That is to say, He is superior, He is above all things, that nothing comes close to Jesus. That He is Lord of all. And on the third and fourth week, we're talking about what Jesus did for us. Last week, we talked about completeness in Christ. And that is, everything that we ever need in life is in Jesus. And if we want to be complete, we simply need Jesus. For the fourth week, for this installment, we're going to be talking about our position in Christ. Okay, unsa tong position? When I say position in Christ, it means what is our status? What is our identity in Christ? What is it ba? What is our position in relation to God? What is it? And this is a pretty important topic for all of us here today because to some extent or a great extent, our beliefs, particularly how we view ourselves, what we believe about ourselves, will greatly affect how we live our lives, right? How you live will affect how you live your life. Can you just tell your seatmate that how you live affects how you live your life? Our beliefs, whatever they may be, they will affect how we handle our relationships, our material possessions, our studies, our work. It will affect how we perceive ourselves, how we look at ourselves. It will greatly affect how we live our life. Okay, say for example, anyone here, you grew up with certain superstitions or beliefs when you were young. You know, when you were young, ibawalan mo mangingoko sa gabi. Bawal manilhig sa gabi kay mamatay bang mama. I forgot the reason. Okay? But bad luck and all that. There are so many different kinds of beliefs. There's this particular country with a strange superstition or belief na they say na if you step on dog poo, okay, on your left bato or right leg, swerte daw ka, good luck daw. But if you step on your other leg, bad luck naman ka. So whichever leg yung pili mo na ang swerte daw. There's so many strange beliefs. In fact, I know this one person na when she was going on a trip to this new place that she has never been to, her mom gave her something, pang protection daw. And that was a whole plastic full of karang sili. And parang dili siya makita na to because she was afraid na binuwangan siya. She decided to hide it in her pocket. But during the trip, she felt na, ano maghalang naman yung paa na ako? She realized na napusa na yung sili. It started seeping into their skin to the point nga it got red, I think. All because of that. Okay, my point lang in sharing those things is that certain practices, beliefs, they will affect how we live our life. And just to take it a step further, how many of you are familiar with these characters? Are you familiar with them? Mowgli, Tarzan, and the Ugly Duckling. Stories we've grown up with, we've known about them. And if I were to ask you, what's one thing these characters all have in common? Not their shorts, ha? Kasi wala shorts, Ugly Duckling. Adopted, rejected. The one thing they all have in common is that they all grew up with a mistaken identity on who they were. They had a wrong mindset on kung kinsa sila. Si Tarzan was raised by apes. Okay, so he grew up with mannerism, thinking an ape siya, or he tried to act out as an ape. The Ugly Duckling thought that he was an ugly duckling all his life. But good thing, at the end, he realized na swan pala siya. But the large portion of his life, he grew up with the thought na, man, ugly, pangit nga duckling. Because he was weird and strange compared to the other ducks. Si Mowgli naman was raised by wolves, so he would act out in certain ways as wolves. He would howl, he would run on four legs. These characters right here had a mistaken identity. They had a misconception on who they were. And the same thing goes for us. If we have a misconception about our identities, then it will negatively impact our lives. It will have severe consequences in our lives. We have to know what our status is in Christ because it will radically change our lives. Because if we don't know what our status is, what our position is in Christ, we will either, one, just give in to temptations or compromises, or two, we will give in to what the devil tries to tell us who we are. We will subscribe to what the devil tries to label us. And maybe for some of us here today, we've had those moments of giving in to what the devil tries to tell us who we are. Ngayon, ani lang ka. You're this person, you're a loser, you'll never amount to anything, you're unloved, you're worthless, you're not talented, you're unskilled, you're not special, you're a failure. Maybe at one point in your lives, we've all given in to those thoughts, those lies, those false identities, false statuses. And here tonight, we're going to find out what exactly is our status, which is from Jesus. So are you guys ready for the word tonight? Yun, okay, that's better. So for our word tonight, I'm going to be basing on Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. I'm going to be mostly basing on this few verses. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. It says there, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory." Going to the first verse of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 1. It says there na, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above." The first verse tells us now, if we have been raised with Christ, if we've had this new life with Christ, we are to do the following things. Raised with Christ there means that if we have this new life. If you were here with us last week, I talked about the completeness in Christ. But in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 15, we got to understand that in Christ, we are complete. That in those verses, in that passage, we came to understand that because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, because of His death, burial, resurrection, He was able to restore our relationship with God. He was able to cut off our old sinful nature. That old life, that old self nato was cut off, removed from us. And it was buried with Him as He died. And not only that, but because of that, we received complete forgiveness of our sins. And not only that, just as He was raised from the dead, we were also raised with Him. So that now, just as our old life died, now we have a new life in Him naman. So we both died with Him and we were raised to life with Him. The old has gone, the new has come. Those verse tells us of what Jesus did for us. Specifically that new life. That in Christ, we have this superior relationship, superior identity, and superior life. Okay, how many of you remember those points that I shared last week? Okay, in Christ, we have a new life. If we are raised in Christ, it means that we have a superior relationship, meaning we have this relationship with God. A relationship unlike any other. We have a superior identity. Now, because we have a new life, we've been raised with Him. Wala man ang old life nato na. We have this new life. We have been birthed again. Now, we have a new identity and a new life which is superior to any previous life or any previous identities. So, the question here is, what is our identity? What is our status? And how should we respond in knowing this kind of truth? In light of this truth, how should we respond? How should we live our lives? What is our identity, life, and our relationship with God? Though the book of Colossians doesn't explicitly state it, John chapter 1, verse 12, still talking about what Jesus did for us, has this to say, "But to all who did receive Him, who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God." To all those who believe in Jesus, to all those who accepted Jesus, to all those who were raised with Him, who are now living in Him, to all those who are Christians, believers of Jesus, He gave the right to become children of God. In other words, if you're here today and you are in Christ, you've been raised with Him, you're a believer, you're following Jesus. If you were to post on Facebook right now, unsa imong status, if you were to check, how does God view you? What is your status before God? Your status before God is that you are a child of God. In Christ, we are His children. In Christ, you are either His son or His daughter. And that's how God views us. That we are His children. That the God who created the universe, that the God who commands the forces of nature, looks at us as if we are His children. Not even slaves, servants, but His children. Let that thought sink in. The God we worship every week, or every day rather, the God we sing songs to, the God we pray to, is our Heavenly Father. That our relationship to Him is unlike any other kind of relationship because it is superior to above all other relationships because we are His children. It is superior to any kind of identity, as we'll get to talk in a while, because no other identity comes close, being a child of God. Why is this such a big thing? Just to expound this more, when we say child of God. Because in Christ, when we are child of God, it means that we are loved, secured, and significant. When you are a child of God, you have all these three things. And I don't know about you, but for a lot of people, they live their lives longing, trying to find these things, trying to find love, trying to find security, trying to find significance. So many people out there trying to live their lives, trying to find it so many different places, trying to perform, trying to live their lives, trying to earn it. Yapan, man, kailangan ba ito na ako para I would feel love, so that people would appreciate me, so that people would accept me. I need to do this so that I would have a secure life. I need to do this so that I would matter, so that I would be significant. Well, I'm here to tell us here today that our status in Christ is superior because we can have all these things in Christ. To be loved, to be secured, to be significant. Let me expand on those things. First, love. For us to grasp this, there's this story about an island. Anyone here, you dreamed of going on an island getaway? There's a certain island na, in their custom, in their culture, if a man wants to marry a woman, the man has to give a present or a gift first to the woman. Kung sa tuwa ka ron, diamond ring, di ba? Kung propose ang laki, diamond ring. For sa ilang culture, if a man wants to marry a woman, he'd have to give these things. A cow. Okay? And the number of cows ihatag sa person would tell the worth of the woman. Kung one cow, okay, guwapang bahay. Pag two cows, pang Miss Barangay. Pag three cows, pang Miss Universe. Okay? The point lang is, the more cows, the more valued the woman is to the eyes of the man. Okay? So, one day, the prince of the island was going around the island looking for his soon-to-be princess, soon-to-be bride. So they searched the island. And every woman out there tried to make herself beautiful. Para may princess siya. Ang mga bayi, nagpa-spa, nagpa-dye, nagpa-ribbon, and all you can think of. They tried to beautify themselves. But to cut the long story short, the prince ended up choosing this particular woman na kung lang tawin mo yung face value, di mo siya anak agwapa lang tawin. Kung ako ba, nagpa-new look, nagpa-chadag look dyan, iya ha, good morning look right na niya. Kamu naman good morning look. Kanang kung pagbangon nimo unsa imong itsura. Okay? Unsa imong itsura pagkatulog nimo, pagbangon nimo mo, but muna ang look sa bayi. And here's the pretty interesting thing. As the prince gave cows, kasi mo man ilang custom, to the girl, he gave not just one cow, he gave not just two cows, but he gave 10 cows. Can you imagine that? 10 cows. Kung three pa lang ato, pang Miss Universe level na. Tulo kabok worth pang Miss Universe level. Plus one cow pa dyan. Can you imagine that? When the girl saw that cow, she was like, grabe, pulo ka baka. Shock na shock siya. 10 big cows. Grabe. And what was this effect? A few days later, in their island, that same island, the people in that island realized that there was this new girl in town, na inabot. And they were thinking, kasi yung girl, bago lang siya, they've never saw her before. Kinsama niya siya. They tried to figure out who she was, tried to follow her. And they concluded that they soon realized that this was actually the girl na gi-marry sa prince. That same girl nga before, paglantaw nila, di man siya angay kayo. Rag wala alaman. That same girl nga, parang wala lang, good morning look lang, dili angay kayo, rag wala lang kayo. But now, she looks so amazing, she looks so beautiful. And you might ask why. Why suddenly na-change in life? And that is because she saw her worth, her value in the eyes of someone. Someone made her realize her worth. Now, she was worth 10 cows. She was that worthy for in the eyes of the person. And because of that, na-change yung perspective himself. Kung before, inanay pa lang to sell, inanay ako. But now, I am 10 cows worth. Imagine that. So that changed yung whole perspective, how she viewed herself and how she lived her life. What's my point in sharing this story? I'm sharing this story because if 10 cows could change the life of one woman, how much more us, na the worth of our lives is not equivalent to one cow, two cows, 10 cows, 50 cows, 100 cows. But our worth, the cost of our worth, is none other than the blood and the life of Jesus. Our worth is measured up by what Jesus did for us on the cross. That for anyone out there who doubts their worth, their value, how loved you are, guess what? Look no further than what Jesus did for you on the cross. In the cross, God did the ultimate act of love to show you how much He loved you. God was willing to come into this world as Jesus, die on the cross for our sins, experience the worst death that there is, to die on the cross for our sins. Why? Because He loved us. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. He loves you so much that He was willing to die on the cross for your sins. For all of us here today who've been wanting to feel loved, who wanted the assurance that, man, loved you, Dad, that we don't need to perform to feel loved, to feel appreciated or accepted. Guess what? In Christ, before you did anything of worthy, the Bible says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, Christ died before you did anything of worth, before you did any achievement, before nakagibot nga even worth mentioning, at the worst state nimo, Christ died for you. That's how loved you are in the eyes of God. That He was willing to go that far. That's our worth. God was willing to show that this is how loved and significant you are. In my eyes, I'm willing to die on the cross for you. This is my 10 cows for you. My life for you. Every time you look at the cross, may we be reminded, church, that the new life that we are raised in Christ, this new life that we get to enjoy, the cost of it is Jesus' body and His blood. Shed to forgive our sins. He gave us life that we may have a new life. That's how loved we are. And not just love, but we can be secure in Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3 says, for you have died, talking about your old life, your old you, your old sinful life, your old way of living, it died with Jesus. If you've put your faith in Jesus, it died with Him. And your new life now, your new you, is hidden with Christ in God. Your new life is in Christ. And that is to say that we can live securely. That our identity, our superior identity, is something that no one can take away. Our superior status in Christ is something that no one can take away. No one can snatch and no one can walk up to you one day and, Allen, you know what? Ako lang gikuha imo identity in Christ. Sorry, di na ka anak ni Lord. No one can do that to you. No circumstance in the world can take away this superior status and identity in Christ. All other temporary identities that we base on will fail us, will be taken away. For some of us here today, we base our identities on our school, our work, our achievements, our successes, our health, our family background, our talents, our skills, our wealth. We base it on those things, but those things are all temporary. Again, what happens if those things are taken away from you? What if you fail in your school? What if you get fired from your job? What if you get sick? What if you're no longer able to do the talents and skills you used to be so good at? What if your family background is no longer as great as it used to be? What if, you know, these things were taken from you? What happens then to your identity? To your status? Will it mean that you no longer have any identity right now? That will happen if you base your status and identity on temporal things. Things that will not last. But in Christ, we have a status, we have an identity that will last forever. That no one can take away. That is safely secured, that we don't have to worry that one day mawala siya, no amount of crisis, problems in the world, even if the market goes down, even if calamities happen, our identity in Christ, our position in Christ remains the same. We can be so secured in Jesus on how God looks at us. How God looks at you, right now, years from now, it will never change. It will never change. There's nothing that will ever do that can make God love us more or love us less. That in Christ, God loves us, that we are at the best position we're in right now to receive God's love. That when He looks at us, He's just going to say, "This is my son, my daughter, whom I am well pleased." And nothing that will ever do will make Him love us less. That's how secured we can be in Jesus. That because of what He did for us, God loves us so much. We can be secured in Him. And the last thing about being children of God, significance. For all of us here today who wanted to matter, wanted to be of worth, I want to remind us that being God's child means that you are of worth. You are of high value. The fact palang that He was willing to die on the cross for you means or shows just how valuable you are in His eyes. Diba, if something is of value, if you lose something that is valuable, you would do anything and everything to get it back. Well, thank God, because He values us so much. We are significant in His eyes. He was willing to do so much to get us back. He's willing to die on the cross for our sins. Not just that. Talking about significance, talking about value. Since we are the children of God, it means that we are people of worth, to say the least, okay? We have significance because of our relationship with God. See, if you know which family you're a part of, it will tell you of your significance. Say, for example, if you're here today, and let's say someone walks up to you and tells you, "You know what, ma'am, sir, we have good news for you. Bala, you are the long-lost relative of the Queen of England." What if someone walks up to you and tells you that? You are the 85th person in line to the throne of England. 85th, or at least you know that lineage. You are part of the royal family. You are royalty. Sir, we are inviting you to go back to the palace and live there because you are a royal person. How would that make you feel? What would be the implications of that? Wow, how would that make you think? How would that make you feel? Knowing that, man, royalty day ka. Diba? For some of you here, the ladies, any one of you here, you've been dreaming of that Princess Diaries moment. And I limo mabudya one day, you know what? You're the princess of this kingdom. How would that make you feel if you were royalty? Diba? It would change the way you look at yourself. Man, royalty day ko. You change the way you look at yourself. But kanipa, that's just earthly royalty. That's just royalty of a certain country. We are God's children. Our Heavenly Father is the King of all kings. He rules everything. Talking about royalty, the Bible says that we are a royal priesthood. We actually have royal blood in us, okay? Because our God, our Heavenly Father, is God. He who rules everything. And when that thing sinks in our minds, it should blow our minds away when the next time we view ourselves. That because we are loved, secured, and significant because of our identity, it should tell us na no longer will we look down on ourselves. No longer will we say, "Man, inanir ako." Have you ever mentioned those words before or heard someone say those words? Inanir ako ngayon ko. Inanir akong course. Inanir akong gikan nga lugar. Inanir akong pamilya. Inanir akong trabaho. Inanir akong mabuhat. "I'm not like this person, this and that. I'm just this person." Well, guess what? Because of our position in Christ, we will no longer utter those words. We should no longer utter those words because in Christ, you are loved, affirmed, secured, significant. It doesn't matter what your earthly background is. In Christ, you have a different kind of identity. That you don't need to look down yourself and succumb to what the devil tells you. In Christ, you have a different identity. You are important. You are valuable. You are loved. And anything of value, I know, has a purpose. You're not worthless. You didn't come to this world na parang bula ka. Even God was surprised. Uy, nanday ka, naborn nanday ka. You are here for a reason. You are loved by God. That is our status and our position before God. We are His children. And knowing that will greatly change how you live your life, how you view yourself, and how you deal with the different aspects of your life. The same way with those thoughts I just shared a while ago. It will greatly affect how we live our life. Because when we realize that our Father, Heavenly Father, is the God of the universe, it will really change how we live our life. there's a story of JFK and his son right here. And if you know the White House, okay, not anyone can just go into the president's office, talk to the president, tama dito, wait, press, musta na ka? If you were to go to the U.S. right now, you can't just go in there and meet the president. You need a certain access. And this kid right here has that access. He's here under the table of his dad. If anyone else were to do that, let's say, ikaw, matuka dito, ay, press this ako sa table ni mo, ha? If you were to do that, patiran pa siguro ka. But this kid can get away with it. He can be here. Why? Because he has a special relationship with the president. And that is, he is the son of the president. He has access to the president. He can be with the president. He can be where he is. He can go to places where not anyone can just go. He can claim things that anyone can claim. He has access to things. Because his dad is the president. I know of one person as well nga, although not dad, uncle naman niya, used to own a candy store. And every now and then, when his uncle would bring him to that candy store, would tell him, okay, now may 1 minute, get anything you want from the store. He would go around, take every candy, tanang imported chocolate, kwao niya dito, candy, kwao niya. Why? Because he has this access. He has a special relationship with the owner, his uncle. What's my point in sharing all these things? Knowing that God is our Heavenly Father, that we have a special, superior relationship with Him, it should radically change the way we live our lives. When we pray and believe for things, it should tell us, man, Lord, You are my Father, Lord God. I can ask things from You that no one else can give me. Students here today, if naman kailangan, you ask from your parents, they will be able to provide for you. The one sure people that you have assurance that can provide for you is our parents. How much more our Heavenly Father? And we have this relationship with Him. Church, I'm here to remind us here today that our superior status in Christ is something that we should greatly appreciate, celebrate, or grasp, or even more. What I just said a while ago, tip of the iceberg pa lang to. The more we get to understand that, the more we get to appreciate just how much Jesus did for us because of our new identity in Him. Now, in line with that, in line with knowing that truth, na, okay, this is our status, this is us with this new life na, how should we respond? How should our hearts and minds, rather, respond in line with this truth? That our identity in Christ is that we are His kids. This is our status in Him. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 2 says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. It says now, if we have been raised with Christ, if we have this new life in Him, we are to seek the things that are above. To seek here means to crave. Diba? When you say crave, nakaginaganahan kayong kwaon, cravings. When you hear the word crave, what pops into my mind is immediately this picture of this kid with the sandwich. Anyone here, you've had cravings? There was this time before nga, me and my wife, we were watching this show, Man vs. Food. I don't know why we were watching it at 12 midnight. But, you know, bad choice kasi gabi na. We were watching this show nga, this guy was eating, you know, massive burgers, massive burritos, trying to beat the time, taguin mga pagkaon. And because of that, nagtatang sa mga, glami man mukha o noon. We started having this craving for a whole bucket meal. So the next day, nipalit mig bucket meal sa Jollibee. What's my point in sharing this? If we are children of God, and whenever we talk about kids being a part of a family, every family out there has different values. If you say you are part of the Delubius, you're part of the Villegas, you're part of the Uis, the Ibanez family, okay? If you're part of a certain family, you need to embrace the values of that family. The same thing with us. If we are God's children, we need to embrace God's values, the things of God. We need to seek and run after and crave for those things. In the same way now, if we crave for food, kumakita tayo ng food, now, because we have a new life in Jesus, because our old life died, now we need to have new appetites, new cravings. Kung before, ang cravings nato, ang sinful desires nato, the things we just wanna do, the lust of the flesh, everything that isn't God-honoring, muto gina run after nato. But now, we need to seek of the things that are above. That our desires, because to seek here means also talks about affection, devotion. That our hearts need to be set apart for God and His purposes. But our hearts need to be set apart for God and the things of God. That there's one thing that makes us crave, want more. It is God. Last week, I talked about na if we are complete in Christ, we are to walk in Him. And the way we ought to walk in Him is to be rooted in Him. Now, just like plants have roots that grow deep in the soil to get nutrients, we need to live our lives as if we are rooted in Christ. And that is to say, our hearts should be just like roots niya, nagakrave, nagakuha nutrients from Jesus, nagakuha gikan niya. Because all our love, our security, our significance, it all comes from Jesus. We need to seek things from Him. We need to draw things from Him. All the things we need comes from Him. Remember that our completeness is from Jesus. And so we need to seek things that are above, the things of God. And you might ask, how do we do that? Kung ang default natin before is, kunyara na, pag things about God, yan na, we want to do the things we want to do. How do we do that? Verse 2 gives us a picture. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. To set our minds is to set apart our minds naman. Kung before, to seek was our heart nato, now it's all about our minds. The question here is, what are the things that are filling our minds? What have I been filling my mind lately? If we say we are to set our minds on the things above, what have we been thinking on? What's it gonna occupy sa mind nato? What are the things we are constantly thinking about? The things we are worrying of? The things we are praying about? The things we are thinking, daydreaming of? The things we are imagining? What occupies our minds? Is it worldly things lang? Is it the things that we want lang? Or are we thinking of the things above? Is it on our minds? Are we preoccupied with advancing God's kingdom because things above? Or are we preoccupied with advancing our own little kingdom? The Bible says now we are to seek first His kingdom. And we are to set our minds and our hearts towards Him, to seek first Him, because everything else will be added onto us when we seek first His kingdom. Jesus even taught His apostles when His apostles wanted to learn how to pray. He taught His apostles, "Thy kingdom come, Your will be done." God's kingdom come. That when we pray, when we desire things to happen, it should be, "Lord, let Your kingdom come." The best way to better understand setting our hearts and our minds is to look at the life of an ambassador. If you know of an ambassador is a diplomat sent by a nation to another nation, and his role to that nation is to advance the interests, the desires, or the goals of the nation he came from. So that, let's say, for example, if Allen were to go to Korea, if he went to Korea right now as a diplomat, as an ambassador, he would be there to represent the interests of the Philippines to Korea. Not his own self-interest. He won't be there to live his life na parang, okay, I'm Allen, muna yung ginamang itabo. He's there to represent the intentions of the Philippines. And the same thing with us, because we now have a new life in Christ. Tapos na old life nato. We're now living in Christ. Christ lives in us. We're now living for Christ. It only follows that we need to live our lives with our minds and hearts set apart for Him. That our desire now, our goals, our agenda now is no longer what we want to do or what we want to happen. But Lord, what do You want to happen? What is God's agenda? What is His purposes in our lives? In our work, in our studies, in our campuses, in our families, in our communities? What's the intentions of God? When we set apart our minds and our hearts, we're basically saying, Lord, let Your will be done. Here, wherever I am right now, in this life that I'm living, since I'm living in You, since this life is with You, Lord God, Lord, what do You want me to do? Let Your will be done. Before we even get to practical action steps, let us first set apart our minds and our hearts for God. And for us to set apart our minds and our hearts for God, rather than settle for temporal things of this world, we need to have an eternal mindset. We need to look beyond the current timeline natin right now. Look beyond temporary things. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4 gives us that picture. In verse 4 it says, when Christ, who is your life, because you've been raised with Him, He is your life. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. You see, a time will come when Jesus will come back for us. After we resurrected, He went back to heaven. But the time will come and He will come back for us. If we don't have an eternal mindset, if we don't think of the things, we will not want to set our hearts, our minds for God. Parang, Lord, kapoy man, kanina ka, Lord, enjoy ko ani karon kasi chada ni. But if we have an eternal mindset, if we come to understand that our lives here on earth, temporary lang. Let's say, for example, we've lived up max to 100 years. After that comes eternity. If our mindset is, Lord, I want to be with you in eternity, Lord God. I want to be with you, Lord God, when you come back. If that is our mindset, it wouldn't be a question for us to set our minds and our hearts for Him. If we come to understand that He would come back for us, of having an eternal mindset, knowing our identity, knowing our present and future status in Christ leads us to not settle on the temporary things of this world, but to focus more on the things that matter for eternity. If you come to understand what your present identity is now and what your future identity will be, because we have been raised with Christ and we will share in His future glory, okay, what will happen when He comes back? If we come to understand that, it will make us not settle for temporary things of this world. That whatever the enemy tries to offer us, you know, kani, sadya ni, kani, nice ni, ayaw ng panggad-gad, kani, settle for these things. We wouldn't want to settle for these things because we know that there is something more valuable, something that has eternal value. And that is to be with Jesus. Last couple of things before I end. Talking about position in Christ. Anyone here, you play basketball? You love playing basketball? Or you just want to watch playing basketball? Or you love playing basketball sa video games? Positioning is very important. If you're a player, whatever role you're placed in, your position is very valuable, is very important. And whatever, kung asa ka ibutang ka position, sa team ni mo, sa coach ni mo, you can't just leave that position. Mag-boot-boot ka, Adrico. Kifil na ako. In an actual game, ha? In ang mga game. Why? Because your position is important. You have to stay in your position where you are. Because if you leave your position, there will be consequences. The opposing team might get through, they might get a point, they might score, or they might win. You have to stay wherever position you're in. Even if you don't get the ball, even if, you know, dili ikaw ang nasa sentos na, but wherever your position is in that game, it is important and central. You are in the right position. The same thing with life. Our position here is we are God's children. Our status, our identity, we are His children. And if we remove ourselves from this position, it will negatively impact our lives. We are in the right position right here, right now, if we are living in Him. If we are here right now as His sons and daughters. If we go beyond this position right now, we will go out of bounds. We will not be living with Christ. We will taking on wrong identities, wrong positions in our life. I'm here to remind us, church, that we have a superior position identity in Jesus. And we are at the right place, the right position, as long as we're living in Him. May we stick to where our position is in Christ as His children. May we stick there because as we do so, we're in this right place to be with Him. The Bible says kanina that when you sing things of the above, Christ is seated at the right hand of God. You know what the Bible says? That one day we'll be seated with Him at the right hand of God as well. And that's going to happen if we stay in our position with Him. In Christ, we have a superior position, superior status. No one else can assure, and no one can take it away from us.